and welcome to the Tiger Rag Radio Extra Podcast, game week version of the season opener for LSU and Clemson. This is Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of the Louisiana Radio Network, the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine and TigerRag.com. Glenn Gilbo is with us, and so is Andre Champagne, who is doing fantastic work for us as a reporter for Tiger Rag and the Louisiana Radio Network. Guys, we are here, LSU-Clemson, talking season comes to an end, and we actually get to see these two teams play. Can't wait.
Yes, yes. August is the longest month of the year.
Every year. And it's not because the Astros are losing to the Rockies, right?
Dude, as a Cub fan, you don't have much room to talk. No, it's time to play, man. It's been time to play for about 2 weeks, so I'm ready.
Okay. All right.
Same here. I'm ready to see them actually hit. You know, we've been seeing so many practices where, you know, there's really not much hitting going on. So I'm ready to finally see some more violent football. That might sound a little crazy to you, but that's what I'm ready to see.
All right, let's talk about some of the main storylines going into this game. And I think the biggest one has been the offensive line. It has been the most talked about. Five new starters on the offensive line, and we still don't know who the starting five will be. Brian Kelly mentioned on Monday we could see as many as eight players. I don't think when preseason camp started that they wanted to go into this game in a hostile environment against a top 10 team, against a defensive line that features two guys that are on the preseason all ACC first team, not knowing who their starting five will be. Now, Brian Kelly has been optimistic and positive about everything involving this team, and doesn't, at least the way he's portraying this, he doesn't look at this as a negative, that they may be swapping some guys out. But it's the offensive line. It's supposed to be five guys working as a tandem, as a teamwork, chemistry, all of that. And I don't know how you can get that when you're moving guys and shuffling guys. And it's a reason why it's such a big concern.
Yeah, well, I think it's not so much to shuffle and rotate because you got a lot of depth. And first of all, coaches always say that in August. Oh, we're going to play 8 or 10 guys, and they don't end up doing it. But I think the thing with LSU is, you know, you got five new starters because DJ Chester, the only returning starter, is not going to start at center. Braylon Moore is, and he's not going to start at guard. But what I'm thinking is one of the new starters, like Tyree Adams at left tackle, or Weston Davis at right tackle, or Paul Mbinga at left guard, if they start getting their butt kicked, you're going to see seven, you know, you're going to see another offensive lineman in there. I think really that's the most likely scenario. And then if they're doing well, but they're really expanding a lot of energy, you know, give them a blow for a couple of series, because there might not be that much difference between who they start and who the backup is at a few of those positions. So I think that's what you'll see. Because if a guy's getting killed from the opening snap, you got to get him out of there and not keep him in there just so you could say, oh, we got five guys. So they got some guys they can put in there to give a blow. And I think that's going to be the key part of the game as well, how LSU's offensive line plays.
Andre, how do you look at it? You've been to a lot of the practices.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a risk to rotate multiple guys in just at one, you know, position, whether that's left guard or right tackle, just because it's already hard. We talked about this. It's already hard for offensive line to gel as five. So I think Kelly makes an interesting point when he says, you know, each possible rotation guy brings something different to the table. You know, I think you can evaluate like that on a defensive line, but you can't necessarily do that on the offensive line. I just think it's far too complicated to do that, especially in the first game of the season against, you know, such an opponent like Clemson. But they're going to be tasked for sure in this game.
Is it a concern that you haven't had five guys that have just distinguished themselves and established themselves above everyone else? Meaning, you know, Tyree Adams, clear cut starter at left tackle. Wouldn't you rather have clear-cut starters all the way along, or is it, you know, the battle at left guard and right tackle, is it because maybe these guys are not all that talented, and it's just a battle between guys that are pretty good but not really good.
Yeah, and it also could mean that there's not a good number two left tackle candidate behind Tyree Adams. Maybe that's why he's not getting getting competition. So there's a lot of question marks there. And I think they're going to play more guys because of necessity, and sometimes it may vary according to the size of the D-line. But this is a game where you need an exhibition game. they need to be playing McNeese this week. There's no question about it.
Yeah, no problem with offensive line rotation if you're playing Southeastern this Saturday or Louisiana Tech, but you're playing a really good team in the Clemson Tigers. This roster, as Brian Kelly has mentioned, cost $18 million, a heavy investment in the transfer portal. 19 players selected out of that transfer portal. Every single one, based on a lot of people that are watching practice, is going to be an all-SEC player at the end of the year. That's not going to happen. You're going to hit on a few of these guys, and some of these guys are really going to pop. Some of these guys are really going to be very good. So let's talk about who are going to be some of the most impactful players out of the transfer portal. We'll start with you, Andre.
Yeah, I have both A.J. Halsey and Tamarcus Cooley, safeties that should make an immediate impact on the field. Now, Halsey is one of the most physical safeties I would say LSU has seen since Grant Delpit, but he reminds me, I went back and looked at his tape. He reminds me of LaRon Landry, just a heavy hitter, very instinctual, and he wants to go out and be physical on every play. And that's what LSU's been lacking in that room. And so Cooley is also physical, but he has more of the capability to play in that pass coverage. He's really instinctual, reads defense as well. I think him and Halsey are going to, I guess, complement each other really well because they have somebody that can go in, be physical and go out and, make a tackle. And then they also have someone that can really go out and get the ball. So with having those two, I think LSU's going to have, a hit from those two.
What do you think, Glenn? Most impactful newcomer?
I'm going with Braylon Moore, the center. I think he's right now he's the lone bright spot on the offensive line. Kelly has been very complimentary of him, and it sounds more sincere than the other guys who he's just trying to build up. But Braylon started for a whole season last year at Virginia Tech at center, and the year before at left guard. And he's fast, he's versatile, so he may be able to lead some of the green offensive linemen that are all around that unit. So I think he could be very important.
My pick is Berrion Brown. He is going to be able to do multiple things for this team. One, he helps it with kickoff returns. I don't know how much of I still think Xavion Thomas is your main punt returner, and Brown hasn't been much of a punt returner during his career in the SEC, but he's one of the best kickoff return guys, 5 touchdowns. That is an all-time high in the Southeastern Conference. He'll be rejuvenated playing with a quarterback that can get him the football. It had to be depressing at Kentucky for a guy like this last year. His numbers have fallen ever since a really good freshman season, and he had such a good freshman season, you would have thought this guy would be 3 years and heading to the NFL. Instead, he's back for his senior season. He's going to come here to try to improve his draft stock. He provides much-needed speed at the wide receiver position to go along with Chris Hilton. I think he's going to have a really good season. And I know there's this talk, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, Glenn, about playing all these different guys in the rotation. And Brian Kelly said there's going to be eight SEC caliber receivers, and they're all going to play. If everything is going according to plan, it's going to be Berrion Brown, it's going to be Chris Hilton, it's going to be Xavion Thomas, and it's going to be Aaron Anderson. And it's going to be hard, I think, for some of the other guys that are on this roster to really make an impact. And you want to have Berrion Brown on the field as much as possible. So I think he's going to have a huge impact. Let's look at it on the other side. What about some of these guys that have come in on the transfer portal that are overrated or maybe overhyped. Andre?
Yeah, I have offensive guard. He'll be starting Saturday at right guard. Josh Thompson, he worries me a little bit. I think he's kind of, you know, weak in run blocking, especially. He's just looked really slow, and as a guard, you have to, you know, be able to move a bit more than those tackles, and I just haven't really seen him do that. So I'm a little worried about him, and then, you know, at times I've seen he hasn't held his own, I would say, necessarily, against some of those defensive tackles. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of question to his strength, too.
Glenn?
Yeah, I think most overrated newcomer, I'm going to go with wide receiver Nick Anderson, the transfer from Oklahoma, who did not play at all last year at Oklahoma, or very briefly, and hasn't had a lot of he's really only played one season. Then he got in a car accident over the summer. He missed some of the you know, he's been a little limited in camp. And I just, as you said earlier, Jeff, I mean, there's just so many receivers that are talented around him. I don't think he's going to get in much or be able to play as well as some of the other guys. So I think that's one who is overrated, Nick Anderson.
Mine is going to be Bernard Gooden, who has been one of the stars of preseason
camp.
Hey,
I did a story on him. What are you talking about?
I'm sure he's a great guy. And he may have a decent season. He might be able to contribute, but I don't think he is going to be the impact player that many of those that have been observing practice have seen in practice, where he's been getting into the backfield constantly, making plays. They talk about his motor. They talk about the leverage. But he's on the small end. He's under 300 pounds. This guy was only, he received honorable mention honors in the American Athletic Conference. I just find it hard to believe, even though he's being coached up by Kyle Williams, that he is going to make this huge jump and all of a sudden be this force in the middle of LSU's interior of the defensive line. Will he make a few plays here and there? Sure, I'll give you that. But I don't anticipate him. I don't think he is the answer or the guy that you're hoping is going to have this huge season on the defensive, especially in the middle of the defensive line. If you want someone to have a big season there, and a guy that should, it should be Dominic McKinley. McKinley should be the guy that's the disruptor, the enforcer there. He's the one that's supposed to set the tone along that defensive line. I don't think it's going to be Bernard Gooden. All right, guys. Again, Saturday night, LSU Clemson. What is the one thing you're going to be really looking for when these two teams line it up on Saturday night? So we'll start off with you, Glenn.
The first time Garrett Nussmeier drops back the pass, I'm going to be holding my breath. I think a lot of LSU fans are too. I mean, you know, we're not sure who the starting left tackle is. The right tackle is going to be Tyree Adams, but you know, neither of them played much last year. So that's just a red alert right there. And, you know, and Clemson is loaded at defensive end and on the front seven. You know, maybe they underachieved somewhat last year, but they're still really, really talented. And, you know, my fear is that Nussmeier gets sacked five or six times, and then they quit passing, and then they can't run, and they might lose 34-3, which Clemson did last year to Georgia and still made the playoffs. So that's an important thing to remember.
What about you, Andre?
Yeah, I think the key element for me watching this game is just how both teams' cornerbacks, you know, counter each other's, you know, talented wide receiver rooms. I know that in previous years, LSU has had to play, you know, so many yards off the receiver. And so now that they have the tools to, you know, be aggressive, I'm interested to see how they're going to kind of hold up. And so I would say that's going to be one of the more intriguing matchups for me, especially with so many talented receivers on the field.
Yeah, really good receiving core for Clemson, and I'm interested to see Delane and PJ Woodland, Ashton Stamps, what kind of development these guys have made. The thing I'll be watching for is the run-pass ratio. You know, last year this team threw nearly 60% of the time, and that's crazy. That's a crazy number, and it can win you some games from time to time. I mean, they basically ditched the run game against Ole Miss last year, but Garrett Nussmeier and that receiving core was good enough to get the job done against Ole Miss and win that game in overtime. But that you're not looking at sustained success, and we saw that. LSU was not committed to running the football. Part of it was injuries to the running backs and maybe ineffectiveness with the offensive line. And I think a first-year play caller in Joe Sloan who fell in love with the passing game. And why wouldn't you when you have these wide receivers and Garrett Nussmeier as the quarterback? But I have a feeling that it was hammered home to him during the offseason. You got to be more 50-50. And even if it's not working early on the run game, you got to stick with it. Because when it comes in the fourth quarter and it's third and one, you're going to need to run the ball. But if you haven't run the ball for the last eight plays, you're probably not going to pick up the first down. So let's see how committed they are to the run game and get it more to where it's 50-50 instead of 60-40 pass, especially if the game is close and they're not having to throw the football to get back into the game. All right, guys, it's time, prediction time. Let's start with you, Glenn.
Well, I think the LSU defense is going to play very well. You know, that's a position where it's easier to play well earlier in a season, you know, without knowing all your teammates yet. I think the LSU D is going to keep them in the game, but I think there's going to be too many issues on the offensive line and pass protection of Nussmeier and the running game. Final score, Clemson 27, LSU 13.
Wow, two-touchdown win for Clemson. Okay, all right.
But it's only one game. And as I said earlier, LSU will win the rest of its games except one. They'll either lose to Ole Miss or Alabama and still make the playoffs.
Okay. All right, Andre?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a much more closer game. I think it's going to be a defensive game between, you know, the fact that LSU has that new offensive line. But I also agree with Glenn. I think LSU's defense is going to do really well in this game. But I think that whichever team can be more effective while kind of chewing some clock on offense, you know, while keeping its defense off the field, I think that team's going to win. And right now I would be leaning more towards Clemson just because, you know, of the fact that we haven't seen this new offensive line for LSU. I think they're going to have one too many three and outs, you know, quick drives. So I have Clemson winning 23-20 on a game-winning field goal.
Oh, boy, close one. On the show, I had LSU winning, I think, 21-17, I think. I'm going to bump. I think there's going to be a little bit more scoring than that after I thought about it because both teams really do have good quarterbacks, really good receivers. Clemson's got a veteran offensive line. But I still like LSU to win this game because I don't think Clemson's the fourth best team in the country as the Associated Press has them. I mean, I know it was last year, and this is a new year, and they bring back a lot of guys, and those guys should be better, and you got a new defensive coordinator. But this team was not competitive against Georgia last year. They lost to South Carolina. They lost at home to Louisville. Texas, yeah, they showed some fight there in the second half, and obviously they won the ACC. But beating SMU doesn't mean all of a sudden you're vaulted as one of the best teams in the country. I got to see more from Clemson. This is a huge test for him. And I just think LSU figures out a way to win this game, and they win it by a touchdown. Again, 27-20. Guys, it's the talking is officially over. It's time for game time, Saturday night. Looking forward to it. Thanks for your
– I'm shocked that you picked LSU. I can't believe it. You've been ripping them for 3 months, and then but they'll still win. But that's great radio.
And I like you, Glenn, think they're going to lose some games once they start playing some teams.
You think they're going to lose to Louisiana Tech?
No.
You said earlier. Oh, okay.
That was a joke.
All right.
That was a joke. But I could see them losing to Alabama. I could see them losing to Florida in the SEC home opener. I'm not predicting that just yet, but I don't really think this Clemson team's that great. So – and I think LSU's better. So they got the better talent. This is about coaching to me. Brian Kelly and Joe Sloan and Blake Baker, they got to get it done.
Yeah. And boy, what an opener. What an opener for prime time Saturday night that, you know, people that aren't even connected with Clemson or LSU are going to be watching.
It should be a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. This has been the Tiger Rag Radio Extra Podcast. Stay tuned. We'll have more podcasts as the season goes along, and enjoy the game on Saturday night. For Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne, I'm Jeff Palermo.